Psalm 107, would you look there with me this morning for just a few minutes? And I know we don't have a lot of time, and I don't have a whole lot of oomph in my voice. So we'll just read these verses here in Psalm 107. And I think I'm going to ask Brother Greg if he wouldn't come up here and read 107, verse 1 through 21. 1 through 21.
Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God. And contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions.
Verse Amen. 20.
20.
Yeah. Is that where you stopped? Yeah. Thank you. That saved me a few words this morning. This is a psalm of the returning remnant, those that came back miraculously from those many years of captivity in Babylon. So Psalm 107 is after the fact. It's a psalm of the returning remnant. And all of those children of Israel that have been taken into captivity, this is after they have been delivered, after they have been brought back. As a matter of fact, this psalm was a psalm that was used in the rededication of the temple as a time of rejoicing at the restoration and the return back to Jerusalem. This psalm really reveals how much God loves his people, even though they fail, even though they made huge mistakes and failure, they still did not deserve it, but received the mercy of God, the love of God. It's an amazing thing that God would love even though we don't deserve to be loved. Amen. Praise God. When we think about God, we seem to want to think that God has the same limitations that we have, because, you know, we're fairly quick to give up on people. We're fairly quick to say, well, they're a lost cause, or we lose our faith. And we are quick to put people in the hopeless category. But God doesn't give up. God just keeps on loving. He keeps on reaching. And thank God that he does, because you and I, we make some pretty big blunders, don't we? We fail him again and again and again and again. This phrase has been on my mind all week, which directed me to read and to read and to study Psalm 107, because the phrase kept coming to my mind from Psalm 107, and the phrase that he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. And the power of the word of God. And so that phrase was in my mind, and I wanted to know the background on what was going on. So as I studied Psalm 107, I realized that it's the psalm of restoration and return, this remnant returning. But then I noticed that it's also a psalm that gives, and it's really a psalm to motivate you, to motivate the people of God to praise God. Amen. To worship the Lord. Four different times in this psalm, this phrase, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Four different times that phrase is in this psalm to remind us of the fact that we need to be a people who lift up and use our voices to give praise unto the Lord. Amen. Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed, those who are delivered and saved by the Lord, let them give praise to God. Let those who have returned and have been saved from this captivity, let them use their voices to give praise and glory unto the Lord. We are often complainers. We are critics. We allow ourselves to use words to destroy, to do damage, to demean, instead of using our voices to praise the living God. Amen. And we have the proof, and they had the evidence because they were living it. God has brought us out. God has delivered us. He's brought us out of this horrible situation. He's brought us back to our homeland. And now he's restored the temple and restored the city and all these wonderful blessings that he has restored and has given to us. And he's brought us back. You know, when we think of the children of Israel being taken into Babylon, we think of just the city. But actually, it was the whole territory that was under the dominion and the control of that empire. And so it was literally thousands and thousands of miles of territory. And apparently they came from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And they traveled somehow. God brought them all back to that place. And here they are back in Jerusalem, back at a place of worship where God has brought them back to their homeland. And God is reminding them, you need to lift up your voice. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has been delivered from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. So we need to be using our voices to give praise to the Lord in our situation. Not only were they in faraway places, but the Bible says that they wandered, verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. Now, the phrase here is really describing a people when they're wandering in a solitary way. It speaks of the fact that they're on their own, they're alone. It speaks of the fact that they're wandering, which means they had no fixed place. They had no place to call home. They were just without a home, just wandering without any sense of direction. I think there can be some real application of that even to you and me today, because there's a lot of people, they don't know what they're doing, where they're going. They have no sense of purpose, no sense of destiny. As far as their life is concerned, they're just wanderers, and they're kind of alone, and they feel alone in the predicament of their life. They found no city to dwell in, and that just meant they were on their own. They had no friends or no one to associate with, no camaraderie. They're just on their own. That's the place that they're in. They're hungry and they're thirsty and they're so fainted. But in each one of these cases, that describes the predicament in their end. It says that they would cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he would deliver them out of their distresses. And in this case, it says, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. So get this mental picture. These are Jews that have been stolen away into captivity. Some of them are not even in the convenience of a city. Some of them are in far away, solitary places, alone, on their own, with no sense of direction and purpose in their life. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're all alone, they're needy. And in the midst of their trouble, they just cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed them the right way. He showed them the path to get on. And that path led them back to the city of God to be joined with all of the rest of the children of Israel. And it all happened because they cried out to the Lord, and he came and he rescued them. So the application of that experience that they had for you and for me is that God can give you a sense of direction. God can give you a sense of purpose. He can pull you out of the dry, barren situation that you're in and the aloneness that you may feel like you're in, isolated and without anybody else. And he can provide for you and help you if you will just cry out to the Lord. Amen. We think, you know, sometimes we think, well, we need to be with church people, or we need to be in the church, or we need to have other people. And it's a blessing to have other people to pray with you, isn't it? It's a blessing to know that there are those that are praying for you. My mom, of course, told me the other day that she had told an elderly couple in their church there that had told her about my Africa trip and told her about my present situation I'm dealing with. This man is 90 years old. Him and his wife are very elderly, but they knew me when I was a little boy. I'm talking young, very young. And they remember me from my childhood, and they've taken, my mom said they've taken on a special burden of prayer to pray for me. And I just thought, how privileged, how blessed that I am, that someone that I've not been around, I don't know how many years, 40 years or 50 years or however long it's been, that somehow the Lord would put me on their heart to pray for me. We are blessed that people care enough, and it's a blessing to have the saints of God and the people of God who pull together to pray in the situation that they're in. Now, these people were all alone in a desolate, isolated place, but you do not get in a situation so isolated and so alone but what you cannot call upon the name of the Lord, and he will hear you. Amen. No matter where you are, he will hear you. He will help you. He will deliver you in your need, whatever that need might be. Verse 10, it says, such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction in iron. This is talking about their bondage in Babylon. And they're there because of their own self-will, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned or rejected the counsel of the Most High. Sometimes people get into bad predicaments because of their own self-will and their own rejection of godly counsel and of the will of God. It says, therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. This is what's repeated over and over and over, about four different times actually in Psalm 107. People in their distress, in their trouble, and in this case, under the condemnation, realizing, I'm going through all of this and it's my own fault. Do you understand that even if the calamity and the problems that you're facing right now are of your own doing, that that does not stop the love and the mercy of God. Even if you have shot yourself in the foot and you've done the damage yourself, it's your own fault that you're in the mess that you are in. Yet the Lord will hear your cry wherever you are, and even if it's your own fault that you're in the predicament that you're in. So you can kind of see that there's this pattern that's being repeated here. Why we need to praise God? Because of we were in this distressed situation. We cried out to the Lord, and he heard our cry, and he delivered us. And so we should praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so again and again. So then we get to the place here where it says that he sent his word. And what was the predicament there that they were in? That he sends his word to heal them. This is a situation. Verse 17, fools, because their transgression, because of their iniquities are afflicted, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Now this is as low as you can get. This is someone who's fallen so low in their despairing situation that they have lost any hope. They have no appetite. They have no desire. They have come to the place where they're just thinking, it's over. It's over. What's the use? And I can't help myself. When you can't help yourself, and notice that in this predicament, that even in this situation that they're in, they still cry out to God in their trouble, and he saves them. But this says he sent his word to them. Do you understand that the word of God is a living and an active agency? Amen. It's alive. And God sends his word to whoever and to wherever, to whatever the predicament might be. Amen. That's a wonderful thought to me, that God sends his living word to you no matter how low or how difficult your predicament is. Amen. Psalm 147 and verse 15, it says, he sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to me to think about the power of the word of God to come to you in your time of need, in your predicament that you are in. That the word of God is active. It's alive. And the psalmist said that God sends it forth to run swiftly, to come to rescue you, to help you in your situation. Another verse is Psalm 68 and 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company, and the word there means army. Great was the company of those that published it. Amen. I get the sense that the psalmist is saying, this word cannot be contained. It cannot be stopped. It goes behind every barrier, every wall, every circumstance. It breaks through every situation to bring hope to the most desperate, the most needy. The word of God goes forth with power. And the word that the Lord gave was great was the company of those that published it. Thank God for every preacher. Thank God for every missionary. Thank God for the gospel broadcasts that go all around the world. Just as soon as we got back from Africa, 1 week later, Floyd Turner went to the Caribbean. Sounds pretty nice. But it was not just a trip, a vacation trip. He's a part of a group there that is building the largest radio station I know of in the world. It is a 500,000 watt AM station. And that station is a gospel broadcasting station. It's in the Caribbean because they're able to put it there without any restrictions. 500,000 watt station. It reaches the entire island of Cuba. It reaches a lot of Mexico and Central America. It is a powerful beacon of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And can you imagine the power of the Word of God that's going forth? I didn't know about that. I didn't know there was even a project like that going on. So I'm sure there's a lot of other things that you and I don't know about that God is doing in the earth to proclaim His Word and to send it forth with power. There's a great company, a great army of those that are publishing it. Those that we don't know anything about. I remember Brother Clendenin talking about meeting a group of disciples who had come out of China. And this would have been maybe 12, 15 years ago. Who had come out of China. I can't remember what country they were in. But they had went through the school of Christ and they had got the materials. And when Brother Clendenin heard about it, they had already taken the materials, which he was very happy they were doing it. And they were reprinting it. And those Chinese preachers were carrying those materials back into China. And it was like something that couldn't be contained. It was like a mighty army that was going forth with the power of the gospel. That's this mighty army that's marching forth for the word of God. So no matter where you are or what your predicament is, God is able to reach where you cannot reach, and He can touch you. He sends His word to bring healing. Amen. Glory to God. I have experienced this many, many times, just as I have this week, that the Lord would prompt me with a particular verse of Scripture. I wouldn't even know where it was at. I'd have to go and find it and look it up. That's why I had to look this one up this week, and I've spent some time in Psalm 107, realizing that I need to use my voice to give praise unto God, to give glory to God. I need to use my voice to ask God, Lord, would you come and rescue me and help me? You are my help. And then to realize that God sends His word, and His word can't be stopped. It can't be contained. It is a mighty force. It is a mighty army that is marching forward. He sends forth His commandment. His word runneth very swiftly. His word is like a great company, an army that publishes it. Another verse is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. The phrase there means that it might run freely, that there would be no hindrances to it, that it would just go forth with power and cannot be contained. This is a living book, a powerful book. And these are not just words off of the pages of a book. This is a living, living, active force. And whenever His word is spoken, whenever it's preached or taught, it has power to bring life and to bring deliverance and to bring hope. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. To bring blessing to those that hear it. Luke 11 and 28. But He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. This word has the power to bring blessing. To bring blessing to all of our lives. And in this predicament from Psalm 107, the psalmist is saying, even to that person who's despairing of his own life, maybe even given up, even to the point maybe of suicide, and saying, what's the use? I can't eat, I can't sleep, I have no peace, there's no answer for me, I've given up in my situation. Whenever that happens, God can send His word to get to that person whenever no one else can reach him. When nothing else can reach him, the word of God can run swiftly. It can be like a mighty army that spreads and goes hither and yon to bring hope and deliverance. Not only that, but the word of God is so powerful. The Bible says it's quick, or it's alive. Hebrews 4 and 12. It is quick. It's living. It's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not only is the word of God powerful to run freely and to reach wherever, but it's also powerful enough to dig deep and to deal with us in the depth of our spirit and to reveal even our motives and the intentions of our heart. Oh, the Word of God that has power. And God can send His Word. And I challenge you. I know that no doubt most of you, if not all of you, you read the Bible. Whenever God brings a passage of Scripture to your heart or to your mind, then understand that God is using His Word to speak to you, to convey to you what you need to hear. Praise God. And He can send His Word and heal and deliver and bring hope and deliverance or whatever your need is. God is a God that is faithful. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you do speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Lord, it is living. It's powerful. Lord, it's sharp. And Lord, it's touching the lives of people even today. I pray, Lord, for those who are in despair. Some here that may have even come to the place they're giving up. They have lost hope. They have no sense of direction or purpose in their life. They don't even know, Lord, what to do. Lord, would you see them in their need? Would you hear their cry? And would you minister to them in their current need? Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord.